Hi, I'm Asha Tomlinson.
And I'm David Common.
And we're hosts of CBC Marketplace. We're award-winning investigative journalists that want to help you avoid clever scams, unsafe products, and sketchy services.
Our TV show has been Canada's top investigative consumer watchdog for more than 50 years, but this is our first podcast.
CBC Marketplace podcast is available now on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From CBC News, it's The World This Hour. I'm Joe Cummings. The judge in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial is reserving his decision on whether the former president has violated a court-issued gag order. The prosecution argued this morning that Trump should be fined $10,000 for comments he's made recently on social media. The gag order dictates that Trump can't speak or post comments about jurors, witnesses, or anyone involved in the case. It's not clear when the judge will be issuing his ruling. The pro-Palestinian protest movement is sweeping across university campuses in the United States, with protesters clashing with police. In California, a group of demonstrators at Cal Poly Humboldt have barricaded themselves in an administration building. And into the evening, hundreds more gathered to show their support. Meanwhile, in New York. That's police vehicles on the campus of New York University, where dozens of arrests were made yesterday. Arrests were also made overnight at Yale, and protest encampments have gone up at Columbia, MIT, and the University of Michigan. The protesters are calling for, among other things, a ceasefire in Gaza, but some demonstrators are being accused of anti-Semitism and hate speech. Meanwhile, Ottawa police are investigating a potential hate speech incident after protesters in front of Parliament Hill were filmed glorifying the attacks of October 7th. But legal analysts are suggesting that getting hate speech charges to stick in Canada can be difficult. Kate McKenna explains.
It's odious speech, and I hope that anybody associated with this rally would distance themselves from it.
Richard Moon, a law professor at the University of Windsor, says the words used at a pro-Palestinian rally may be hateful, but that doesn't mean they qualify as hate speech.
Free, free Palestine!
Video from Saturday's protest shows people cheering.
Come live October 7th!
As a man with a megaphone says, long live October 7th, the date when, according to Israel, Hamas killed about 1,200 people in southern Israel and took about 250 people hostage. Moon says the bar is very high for prosecutors to allege that speech crosses the threshold into hate speech.
Things like describing the members of the group as animalistic or subhuman, or as preying on children, or as inherently violent in character. I think that gives you some sense of how extreme the speech must be.
Kate McKenna, CBC News, Ottawa.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is in Poland, rolling out Britain's largest contribution to date to the Ukrainian war effort. The British missiles, armored vehicles, and ammunition are worth the equivalent of more than $800 million Canadian. Abby Kugadasan has more.
Ukraine's allies know Kyiv is struggling on the battlefield. Since taking the Ukrainian town of Avdiivka in mid-February, Russian forces have been advancing on Donetsk. U.S. aid had stalled in the Republican-led House of Representatives for months until it passed on Saturday. The package, worth $82 billion Canadian dollars, will now be put to a vote in the Senate.
The money from the U.S. and the U.K. is important.
Radek Sikorski is the Polish foreign minister.
Because it's weighed towards anti-aircraft and anti-missile effectors and batteries that Ukraine desperately needs to protect its power plants and its cities.
British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's visit is also about reinforcing security ties with NATO allies. 10 Downing Street says a Royal Air Force squadron will start policing Polish skies for the alliance next year, as Sunak believes the Kremlin has territorial ambitions beyond Ukraine. Abby Kowalasin, CBC News, London.
After spending the last 250 years at Cambridge University, four Aboriginal spears have been returned to the indigenous peoples of Kamay in southern Australia. The spears were brought to England by Captain James Cook in 1770 and presented to the university by the 4th Earl of Sandwich. Cambridge says the return is an important step toward a greater understanding of Britain and Australia's shared history. And that is The World This Hour. I'm Joe Cummings.